It's a Mike Grimm Monday, of course, here on KATE. Mike Grimm, the voice of the Minnesota Golden Gopher men's basketball team and, of course, Gopher football, sports director at the Minnesota News Network, joins us every Monday to talk state sports. Sometimes we talk national sports, and sometimes we just get off topic, and that's fun, too. Mike, a good afternoon. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, thank you. Yeah, occasionally we, you know, I can't help myself. I veer off topic a little bit, forgive me for that.
No, it's all good. I enjoy when we go different directions with our conversation. And let's start right off with the Minnesota Golden Gopher men's basketball team. We know it's been a tough season record-wise in the Big Ten Conference for Ben Johnson, first-year head coach. Again, no surprise here. We've talked about this many times. Gophers were predicted to be in last in the Big Ten Conference, but anytime they get a win, it's a big deal. And Minnesota shorthanded on Saturday, a game you heard on Kate Radio. They beat Northwestern 77-60. And Mike, if I recall, the Gophers led this one pretty much a wire to wire.
Yeah, it was pretty much a wire to wire win, and it was another fun day, you know, at Williams Arena. The last there have not been, you know, through TV and different things, there aren't very many Saturday home games, frankly, for any teams in the Big Ten. The ratings for TV seem to show that people watch TV more on Sunday, and that's become the big thing. So we've had a lot of Sunday games, but we've had two Saturday Big Ten home games, the Gophers have, and both times they were 4 weeks apart, so a month apart, and both times the Gophers were shorthanded, and both times they shot the lights out and won. So that's kind of fun. Two of my more favorite days, doing Gopher sports. We talked about that Rutgers game in January when the Gophers were down, you know, two starters. In fact, three starters, because Curry was out with the ankle injury for that game. Remember, he missed that game. And then Battle was out, and I'm trying to recall, was it E.J. Stevens, I think, was also out with a positive test. And then this past week, Peyton Willis got positive test, and he was out, and others stepped up. And the similarities are kind of eerie, quite frankly, between the two, because the Gophers, right before Rutgers, had kind of a long road trip where we went straight from Indiana to Michigan State. Gophers lost both those games. I think they picked up the flu bug on the road or the COVID bug and came back and got the nice win. And then last week, same thing. We went straight from Ohio State to Penn State. It was like a five-day road trip. It was clear, if people look back now, knowing what we know now, Eric Curry was not 100%. He was playing through some flu-like symptoms in that Penn State game, and as was Peyton Willis. Well, they tested those guys, and Willis tested positive. Curry did not, so Curry was available. And so coming off that road trip, it's another Saturday home game, and they shot the lights out like they did against Rutgers and won the game going away. So it was a couple of fun days. And I do think when you're having a rough year record-wise, I do think this team, for the most part, has played hard and played strong. Obviously, this past week, the two road games, Ohio State and at Penn State, they were tough ones. The offense couldn't get clicking. They had some things going, like I said, with some illnesses that maybe we didn't know about at the time. And so when stuff isn't going great, I think it's even more reason to enjoy when you got a nice day like they had on Saturday. And certainly it had to feel good for those guys and that coaching staff to get back on the right side of the ledger with a win.
With the win, Gophers now 4-12 in the Big Ten Conference, 13-12 overall, so a back over 500 on the season. Wisconsin comes to town on Wednesday. We'll have that game for you right here on KATE with your pregame at 7:30. Mike Grimm and Spencer Tollickson on the play-by-play. And with Wisconsin coming in, and Mike, I got to get your take on this. The story is what happened yesterday. I didn't watch any of the Wisconsin-Michigan game, but I'm sure many of our listeners and many people know the story or have seen the video. Give us your thoughts on what happened with the coach's handshake exchange at the end of that Michigan-Wisconsin game. That after that, it just everything went wrong and turned into a little melee at the end of that basketball game.
Yeah, no, it was really got more than a little melee. I mean, that was not a good situation for college basketball. I mean, it got out of control. Luckily, it didn't get more out of control, quite honestly, because those things could track the wrong way. And there's just, you know, I don't even know where to start with it. One, as we talk, my hunch is that the Badgers will not be at full and I have not paid attention here for much of the middle part of this day, but it could be that suspension's already been announced and I don't know about it. But my hunch is that the Badgers will not have a full array of coaches and potentially players. I think there'll be some suspensions on the Wisconsin side. There'll absolutely be suspensions on the Michigan side if they haven't announced them already. And it's, you know, I think there's fault to be had for everybody. And if people didn't see it and I'll try to describe it and I'll offer some opinions and if people have some different thoughts on it, I'm not going to fight him about it, but this is the way I looked at it. And first of all, I'm not real thrilled with Juwan Howard because he's put me in a position here to defend Badger basketball, and that's not really something high on my priority list to do.
Gotcha.
But Wisconsin's winning the game going away. They're under a minute to go. Greg Gard, the head coach of Wisconsin, puts in his subs, including some walk-ons. And for whatever reason, and I get the net rankings and Michigan's a bubble team and they want to, you know, not get blown out because of, the efficiency ratings and all that. So Juwan Howard kept in his three of his starters, I believe, right up until the end and pressed, was full court pressing. And as he was pressing, the walk-ons committed a couple of turnovers in a row for Wisconsin. And then they had a ball get tipped out of bounds. And there was going to be 3 or 4 seconds left on that 10-second runoff. And this is that new rule. It's relatively new. Maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago it was put in, where you have 10 seconds total to get it across half court. And, again, it really didn't mean anything. I think the game was 17 points at that time or 15. And so Greg Gard took a timeout because what that does is it resets that 10-second clock.
Okay.
And I'm sure part of what he was doing, I don't think it was totally innocuous. Like he was just saying, hey, maybe, Juwan doesn't know the rule. I just wanted to reset the 10 seconds. They're pressing. I'm trying to get my guys set so we don't turn it over again. But I also have to believe he was, and this is my interpretation, he was saying, look, man, you're going to press, I'm going to take a timeout. You know, a little like Kirk Ferentz did to P.J. Fleck a couple years ago when he took those late timeouts. If you're pissed off about something, you might do that. And I would be, if I was in Greg Gard's shoes, I admit I would not be thrilled with the guy pressing me when the game's out of hand and he's just trying to, get back in it. So he took the timeout. And then Juwan Howard basically stared down the Wisconsin bench the rest of the game. It was about 50 seconds left when all this unfolded. And the announcers were talking about, oh, Juwan Howard is still mad. He's not getting in the handshake line. Well, then he did get in the handshake line. And this is where I think there's a lot of things up for interpretation. So I will give you my interpretation, and it does not jive with a lot of other interpretations I've seen.
Okay.
Because people seem to be caught up in the idea that Greg Gard, and here I am defending the Badgers for Pete's sake, but seem to be caught up in the fact that Greg Gard grabbed Juwan Howard. I keep wanting to say Jalen Howard. I guess I'm combining my old Fab Five guys. But that he grabbed Juwan Howard as they were going through the handshake line and that Howard are just going to go by. But what they fail to see is when you see the total video, Juwan Howard lowers his mask as he approaches Gard and says and swears at him. He says, I'm going to blank and remember that timeout for next year.
Oh, okay. See, I'm not a good lip reader, so I didn't notice that part.
So he swears at him to start with, and now Gard is already probably ticked off because he's been stared down and he wasn't sure whether Howard was going to be in the line, right? And so, look, if you ever watch coaches do the handshake line, they reach out, they shake a guy's hand. Oftentimes there's a tap on the elbow, there's a tap up on the shoulder. There's even like the other day, Ben Johnson and Chris Collins hugged. They had a little quick, man hug there.
Yep.
Fine, so it's not like, to grab a guy, that's not that uncommon in a handshake line. So Howard, this is my interpretation. I say Howard swears at him, says, I'm going to blank and remember this next year. Greg Gard has already got his hand out to shake, and he kind of touched and grabbed the elbow. There's no doubt he grabbed the elbow, but I think he was going to say, hey, I called the timeout because you were pressing. And as soon as he said, hey, I've got, and as soon as he touched that elbow, Howard lost his mind. And went nuts and started dropping more F-bombs. And before you know it, things get a little bit crazy. And then Joe Krabenhoff, the former player for Wisconsin and assistant coach, he comes in and escalates it even worse. He comes flying in. He'll get suspended for sure. There's no chance. There's zero chance he's going to coach as an assistant Wednesday at the Barn, in my opinion. He's going to get suspended for sure. And then that's when And that's when Howard lost his mind even more. And you know, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, a swipe, a punch, a push, a face shove. And when you look at the tape slowed down, which I saw tweeted out yesterday, like super slow-mo, it was a pretty good face shove. I mean, it wasn't like just a slap. It wasn't a fingertip. There were some people early tweeting, I don't even think he got hit. It was a swing and a miss. It was not. It was clear contact, and his head got tipped back. And I feel like I'm on a Seinfeld episode saying, and it turned left, and he's out back, you know, like the Bruder film or something.
Yeah.
So it all went nuts. And then the thing that even went to me was more crazy was the lack of urgency by anybody in the building to get the teams off the floor. They all just kind of stood then and stared at each other. Brad Davison, the kid from Maple Grove, you can hear him on one of the tapes saying, we're staying. We're going to sing our whatever, their fight song or whatever they sing after they get a win. And I get it. You want to do that. But in that particular situation, Greg Gard, Juwan Howard, Joe Krabenhoff, Phil Martelli, the assistant at Michigan, whoever it is, they at security, Big Ten people, I don't care. They got to be getting those guys off the floor. I mean, no, we're not singing today, Brad. Sorry. Move along. Get to the locker room. You know, it's all over. And so anyway, it was all nuts. A lot to be involved with there. I'm less, I mean, quite frankly, if it was, you know, there are some guys, if they would have done that, would be fired coaches.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Juwan Howard, because he's, you know, he's a popular former player. He's won a Big Ten championship already. He's had a couple of nice recruiting classes. I think all of that is probably going to save his job. But had there been, you know, that's Fran McCaffrey. He might be gone this morning, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just because he's got a little history. And the thing is, Howard's got some history. He and Mark Turgeon had it out at the Big Ten tournament when Maryland played Michigan last year, and Juwan Howard got kicked out of that game. Earlier this year at Rutgers, Michigan had a handshake situation with Rutgers after that game as well. So there's some precedent there. So there's no question that that some people are going to be missing some time. And then because the adults couldn't behave, basically talking about Howard and Gard and Krabenhoff, they couldn't behave. Players started throwing punches. So there's going to be suspensions by players as well. And, you know, it seems to me that has, you know, we all have to kind of take a step back. And Jerry Kill used to say this a lot. It's the adults who always mess it up, not the kids.
Absolutely.
And I think that's been the case with this game. So anyway, that's my interpretation. I mean, Juwan Howard was, to me, the guy totally in the wrong here. And people are saying, well, if Gard just lets him walk by, you know, there's nothing there. But I would suggest if Juwan Howard just simply walked by, if he didn't lower the mask, like they're saying, well, he grabbed him. We got swore at. Like someone gets in your face swearing. You're not, you know, I mean, your competitive juice gets going just like if you got grabbed. So which was came first? The swearing came before the grab. So, it's just a bunch of people that lost control. And they're going to have to pay the price for it. And in some cases, I think there's two Michigan players who may be out the rest of the year because of this, because they were throwing some haymakers, man. And that's a shame. It was a horrible sight. I mean, there was excitement with it, but it gained a lot of attention, and that's not the attention you want, that's for sure.
Just an ugly scene yesterday, again, talking about a Michigan and Wisconsin. Mike Grimm, out of Mike Grimm Monday here on KETE. So Wisconsin, again, could come in shorthanded on Wednesday night. Gophers and the Badgers, again, 7:30 will be your pregame. We'll have your tip-off at 8 with Mike and a Spencer Tolleson right here on KATE Radio. I got to ask you, before I let you go, did you watch any of the All-Star weekend for the NBA? Get a chance to check that out?
You know what? I watched the very last two shots that Towns took to clinch the three-point shootout. I was watching, I want to say, was it golf or hockey maybe Saturday, and there was some other stuff on, and I'm thumbing through my phone, which, you know, that's a whole nother thing of adults being addicted to stupid screens, which I am. So I'm thumbing through, and I see they're saying Towns is on fire, and so I quick flip it over. So I saw the last maybe two or three shots he took, and then the interview, and, you know, that's pretty cool. And I wish I was allowed, well, first of all, I probably wouldn't have done this. And, you know, technically I can't bet on sports anyway. I would lose everything. But he was like a plus 2,500 to win that thing. So somebody made a lot of money on that. And I thought it was a little disrespectful. Say what you want about Towns or whatever you want to say, but the dude can shoot.
He can.
I don't, you know, being, you know, just watching enough, anybody should not be stunned. I saw people like, oh my God, Carl Anthony Towns won it. He's a center. Like, nah, he's a forward. He can shoot. I mean, the guy can shoot. So there were, you know, a handful of people that, that had thought he might have a shot. Obviously, Trae Young was the favorite heading in, but tip of the cap to him for sure.
Yeah, the knock, and I guess I'm not knocking at Carl Anthony Towns, but the one thing that I've always had, you know, trouble with him, and I love Kant, and again, he's a good three-point shooter, is he's not a center, like you said. He plays more like a small forward, because my one thing, I've always wished that he would be more physical inside and want to go inside, and yeah. Anyone that follows the Minnesota Timberwolves know that is not his game. He does not want to be a, quote, old-school true center in the NBA. He wants to be more of a power forward, heck, a small forward that floats around and shoots threes.
Yeah, and there's something to be said for that, especially the way the game has changed now. You know, the old, you know, 7 foot, 2 inch plotting post up back to the basket, 3 feet out center. That, I mean, how many NBA teams even have one of those guys? Not many, right?
Correct,
I mean,
yeah.
It's just the game has changed. The Warriors helped change that with their positionless basketball, so to speak. But I saw Jace Frederick. He is the beat writer for the Pioneer Press here in the Twin Cities for the Wolves. And maybe it was Aaron Gleeman as well, who writes for The Athletic. I think that's who it was now. I think about it was Gleeman. And he was tweeting out some stats that indicate that Towns should be shooting way more threes than he is, because his career percentage, his whatever, however they analyze it now, this offensive efficiency based on, you know, points per possession and all that stuff, that he should be shooting, you know, 10 or 12 threes a night based on how good he is, based on the matchups, based on his efficiency. And so I think if you and I are hoping for him to do some post-up stuff and get physical, I think we're probably barking up the wrong tree. And if anything, he probably needs to be more selfish and take a few more threes, quite frankly, for the team's offensive production. But very talented player. Clearly, we all know he's a talented player. And look, they're playing pretty well. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see if they can – you know, what are they, two games, two and a half games out of that sixth spot? You want to get in the sixth spot, and that's Denver, I think, currently holds that, and then the Mavericks are a couple games ahead of them, maybe. So, man, if you can get that sixth spot, you got to feel pretty darn good about maybe making a little noise in that postseason.
It's just fun to be talking about a Timberwolves playoffs here in the month of February, because that seems to never happen. So we're going to take the run and enjoy it. Mike Grimm, Monday here on KATE. Again, we'll hear from Mike coming up Wednesday night, Wisconsin in town against our Gophers in men's basketball. 8 o'clock tip-off on Kate. And Mike, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Let's burn the tape. We don't need Grimm on record defending the Badgers.
No, I'm going to post it online, and I'm going to share it with the media department in Madison, just to let you know.
I appreciate that. Thank you for your time. Talk to you later.
Sounds good.